Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Most common message we get as we continue to work and do the show, I'm sitting here in East Dallas. Choppy's in studio. Troy is isolated behind the glass during the coronavirus. Some sense of normalcy, you know, a little sense of familiar. So we wanted to do that when it came to the show with a familiar voice during the season. We have him on every Monday at 8 o'clock. A lot of Tolos saying, how am I killing my time? When we said, what's the last sporting event you've watched? Well, I went and rewatched old Cowboy games. Mike Bacsik has been going through 90s Cowboys tape on YouTube, and you will hear this voice, the play-by-play voice of America's team, Brad Sham. Back with us here on Sean and RJ, DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Brad, what have you been doing? How are you doing, and how have you been?
I've been great. How are you guys?
We're working.
And I've been following your pictures.
Yes. I can get a Brad Sham endorsement for my brisket. That much I do know. I know you approve of the brisket.
100%. Any day ending in Y. Absolutely. In writing. I have lost a couple of vacations, so that's not hardly the end of the world compared to what's going on, you know, for real people. Because normally it's not the time, it's not the work time when I'm busiest. I have spent my time so far. I try to get a good walk in every day that the weather is decent, and I've been doing too much. Watching and reading the news, and I have been I've been doing a lot of reading and doing a little binging and doing some volunteer work that I can still do online. And so far the days seem to pass fairly quickly. Now, I think one reason that that's the case is I believed 2 weeks ago or whenever it was that we started this, I expected it to be at least till the end of April, so I was trying not to get too much done too fast.
What's been on the binge list?
You know, Succession.
Oh.
I never really got into it. That's at the top of the binge list. I never got into it, and so then I watched the first couple, and I thought, okay, and then it starts to ramp up, and now I'm obsessed. I'm about halfway through season two.
And Tiger King?
Oh, yeah, I saw Tiger King, yeah.
And?
Yeah,
and
that, you know, you can't unsee it.
That's true. Are you in my camp where you think that Joe was framed for the murder, air quote, or the attempted murder, or do you think that he legitimately paid a guy $3,000 to drive halfway across the country to kill somebody?
Well, I think that either of those things is fully possible, but I would say that his everything about him is so unbelievable that if he weren't in jail for that, he should be in jail for something else.
All right, very good.
Agreed. Brad Sham here on The Fan. Brad, I know you're a guy with a lot of perspective, so you're going to put this at the very, very, very bottom in terms of life. But What is your sense on football returning? What is your reaction to some of the ideas and proposals that have been thrown out there, either when it comes to free agency, how they did that, the NFL draft, just kind of your Brad Sham umbrella of football coming back?
You know, I think from the perspective point of view first, Sean, obviously people are sick and dying, and I have a friend who has been in ICU for almost 2 weeks with this disease. And, I mean, lives are being touched by it, so it's very real. And at the same time, there's going to come a point when, as soon as it makes sense, for the collective mental health, something like football is going to need to come back for the same reason that that it was important after the Kennedy assassination and after 9/11, and not too soon. And I would put getting the baseball season going in the same kettle. The collective psyche is going to need something besides the bombardment of what we're getting, and so I think that is. I think that's a worthwhile goal. Now, I don't have a problem with them going through with free agency. I understand that some people are upset about the optics and the millions of dollars and blah, blah, blah. There are still, every time you download an album, somebody is making a lot of money from that. And that doesn't end. Those contracts were getting paid anyway. Guaranteed baseball contracts are getting paid anyway. So I don't think that we have done any damage to ourselves morally by going through free agency. And I don't really have a big problem with that. I think the draft is interesting. And for me, the thing that's curious about the draft is whether teams will have the time to do their due diligence and make sound decisions in who they draft when you can't work a guy out. You can't look at him. I understand you can interview him by video, but you can't sit in a room with him face to face, and you can't take him to dinner. I don't have a problem with them holding the draft. Obviously, you can't hold it under the current circumstances publicly. I don't think there's anything wrong with them going ahead and having the draft. And as a matter of fact, I think it'll be something that, for the same reason it would be important to play games when it's appropriate, I think a large segment of the public needs something else to talk about and think about. And when I started covering the draft, there were maybe 2,000 people at Madison Square Garden. It was not the big public spectacle it is now. It won't be any difficulty for them to have the physical holding of the draft from living rooms or wherever they have to do it. But now I've asked the question of a highly placed Cowboys executive just in the last few days. I said, will you have enough information to do your proper due diligence to draft? And the answer was, yes, we'll have the best information available. And that kind of hedges the question. I will be interested to see if there are not more draft mistakes made this year by virtue of teams not having an opportunity to get kind of even physically get their hands on guys. So we'll see. I think there's going to be a little wishing and hoping on who gets drafted. And then going forward, I think, and it's becoming clear to me that the league is already starting to think about this. It may very well be that I'm not predicting it, but I just think if you look at what's going on, it would make sense to me that it would be possible, just possible, that by the time we get to September, you might be able to play games without live fans in the building. You might be able to keep 150 players and coaches and staff and broadcasters healthy and safe and sequestered and give those games to fans without exposing 90,000 people to each other. We might not be there yet. And I think the league is thinking about that and kind of taking a look at it. And I think that's wise. I think it's wise to be. It would be very, very strange, but what's not strange about what we're living through?
Brad Sham, voice of the Cowboys, joins us here at 105 through the Fan. All right, so you mentioned the fans aspect, and that's where I wanted to go. Because if we get to September and we're still not ready for fans, but they project that by November fans will be able to be there, do you think they would postpone the season and delay the start until November to get the fans in there and play 16 games with fans?
Well, here's what I would say to that. If we're sitting around the table, we're in a league meeting, and we're league executives, and you bring that up, I'm going to say, well, what does that accomplish? Why should we not start playing games as soon as we can play them and then let people in as soon as we can do that? And if that's November, great. It's possible. Again, you have to be careful about what you're saying you think is going to happen. It's possible if the medical people are right and there is a second wave of virus spread coming sometime in the fall with a little less severity than we're experiencing now because we'll be more practiced at all of the things we're doing, and there may be some medical treatments. I don't think there will be a vaccine yet by then, but there will be something. Then it might be that you can't open it up to fans at all during the season. But if it's feasible to play the season, I would play them as soon as they say it's medically safe. You can have players, coaches, staff, broadcasters. You can't put 80,000 people in one place, and we won't be ready for that till next spring. I don't see the point in passing up an entire season if it was possible to play it. Like for baseball right now, I don't think it's possible for them to do that. And now the other question, if we're having that meeting, RJ, in a conference room at the league level, is so they're already losing OTAs. So how are players going to be able to be in physical shape for what kind of training camp? What do they need? How much do they really need? And what do they need by way of preseason? Maybe we don't have any preseason games. I mean, that would be another thing that could come up and be discussed. But I'm not sure what would be accomplished by not playing games. If the playing of the games were medically safe, holding off until the fans could be there, I'm not sure that's necessary. That's based on what we know right now.
Brad, I want to get your Cowboys off-season take. Byron is gone. Amari is re-signed. Robert Quinn out. Gerald McCoy and Dontari Poe in. How do you feel about the Cowboys' offseason moves so far?
Well, if McCoy and Poe are who they were 3 to 5 years ago, then that part of the team is good. It's better than it was. I hate losing Malik Collins. I'm a big Malik Collins fan. But McCoy and Poe, now my question about McCoy and Poe is not lining up right now, and the reports are there are also good people and good in the locker room, but when you get to, based on it playing a regular season, when you get to the second half of November, are they going to still hold up? Are you going to have to spot their work and manage their workload? The rest of the team is not better than what ended the season, in my opinion, in terms of physical playing talent, yes. Now, there's a lot of time left to go, but Byron Jones is a good player. You know, I think they would have liked to have done with Dak and Cooper what they did, but in reverse. I think they'd have liked to have gotten Dak signed first so you could tag Cooper and say, okay, let's, whatever the reservations were about his production in the second half of last year and his being able to maintain through games and battle injuries. No, let's tag him and look at him for a full year and see what we're looking at. But they couldn't do that. They weren't able to get that done. So, okay, I mean, you know, you'd rather have him than not have him. I mean, someone still got to replace Randall Cobb. Now, maybe that guy's coming in the draft. Maybe it's somebody on the roster, but someone's got to do that. Cameron Fleming is not – they didn't win any Super Bowls with him. But, you know, I think right now Brandon Knight's probably the swing tackle. But I don't know. Maybe they'll sign another guy. Maybe they'll draft someone. But right now they don't have a veteran backup tackle. Obviously, you couldn't have predicted Travis Frederick. And so you're kind of hoping that Connor McGovern is going to be able to be who you thought he was when you drafted him and take over as the starting center. And that I'm just starting with the offense. And I would have been in favor of Reese. Now, I'm not critical because the coaching staff knows what it wants to do. But I would have been in favor of keeping Witten, and I think he would have been willing to have a different role. So they didn't. And, I loved Bell when he was at Oklahoma. He's a nice Swiss Army knife, but I think the tight end might be used differently. And so I certainly have no problem with expanding Jarwin's role. Now, on the other side of the ball, I'm a big Tyrone Crawford fan. He can help, and he can play, but he's not replacing Quinn. And they don't have a replacement for Byron Jones. And, you got to see a lot more, not just replacing the players that they lost. And, yes, the draft is coming. Everybody says, oh, well, that's fine. They got the 17th pick. They'll draft C.J. Henderson or whoever they're going to draft. Guess what? Everybody that you draft doesn't work out and turn out right to be the player that you wanted him to be. So, I know a lot of people weren't big Jeff Heath fans, but I know what Jeff Heath did every day on the field. So you took Heath off the field. You took Quinn off the field. You took Byron Jones off the field. I got to see a lot more from Awuzie, Lewis, and Jalen Smith in terms of production. Those guys underperformed, in my opinion. They've got to come be the players that they were supposed to be, in addition to replacing all of the guys who have left. That doesn't mean it won't happen. But we're sitting right here. It's still March, and I don't see that they are a better team in talent terms. I don't think they're a better team today than they were at the end of the season, especially on defense.
Brad, last one for you. Have you gotten any more sense about Mike McCarthy, his style, his approach, and the way he's trying to build things up over there?
I haven't because we haven't had any access to him. But yeah. I do have this sense. Sean, from the times I've been around him, there's no question that he's not trying to make it up as he goes along. He knows exactly what he wants to do. I think that this assemblage of coaches was done quite intentionally, and I think that he has a staff that he wants to have to do the kinds of things that he wants to do. And you can own until we have a history to judge. We can only go by what he says, and I don't know of anything in his past that indicates that you shouldn't believe him. And so when he talks about taking the defense and fitting the scheme to the players that he has, I like that. I think that's really good. And, I'm still mad that they don't have T.J. Watt on this team, and I'm always going to be. And that's a great example of it. And I love Rod Marinelli. But I'm mad about that. I studied Wisconsin for studying the Cotton Bowl that year, and it was clear the guy was a great football player, and they should have had him, and they didn't. And that's an example of what happens when you put the scheme ahead of the talent. So he says the talent's going to dictate the scheme, and I like that. And I think offensively, clearly, he knows exactly what he wants to do, and it might look different than it looked before. But that's okay. I think they're going to be competitive offensively. I just really hope that they are able to get the players. I like what I think is Mike Nolan's approach, which is basically a lot more aggressive than we have seen. And that approach is great if you have the talent. They haven't always had the talent. So I kind of like what I think is Nolan's approach. But you have to have players. All the schemes in the world don't help you if you don't have good players, and they got to get some more good players.
Great to have you back on again, like a big bowl of chicken soup. Very comforting. We appreciate it. Stay safe, and we'll do it again.
Thanks. I'm right here whenever you want me. I got, you know, I don't have a lot to do right now.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.